Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Grenville Strategic Royalties' 2016 third quarter results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. If anyone has difficulties hearing the conference, you may press star zero for operator assistance at any time. I would like to remind everybody that today's discussions may contain forward-looking statements that reflect current views with respect to future events. Any such statements are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those projected in the forward-looking statements. For more information on Grenville's risks and uncertainties related to these forward-looking statements, please refer to the company's Management Information Circular, dated April 16, 2015, which is available on SEDAR. Today's call is being recorded on November 16, 2016. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Steve Perry, Chief Executive Officer of Grenville Strategic Royalty.
Good morning, and thank you for participating in today's call. I'm joined today by Don Corral, our Chief Financial Officer. Yesterday afternoon, we released our third quarter financial results, which can be found on our website at grenvillesrc.com. We made significant progress during the third quarter on the plan we outlined on the Q1 call earlier this year. The portfolio continues to generate positive cash flow. We've reduced our OPEX costs on a run rate basis. In October, we suspended the dividend to reinvest those funds in new opportunities that offer a higher return than how the market valued our former dividend policy. And we renewed our board with three new directors, Vernon Lobo, Peter Campion, and Dan Farr, who bring extensive financial services and investment experience relevant to Grenville's business model. On behalf of the board, I would really like to thank Andrea Zaradic, who resigned her seat on Monday, for the commitment and dedication she displayed to the company during its formative period. The board has undergone a significant level of renewal during the past few months, and we believe the existing membership is now well-suited to lead us through the next stage of growth. As part of our growth plan, we have completed an evaluation of how we communicate our story to the market. Our royalty model is actually quite simple. Our investments translate into free cash flow from royalties and contract buyouts. Starting today, we will begin the process of focusing on the free cash flow elements of our performance and portfolio fair value that we believe are the best indicators of the portfolio, performance of the portfolio and the company. We'll continue to report the past metrics through the end of our 2016 fourth quarter to ensure investors have transparency through this transition. And then, beginning with our 2017 first quarter report, we intend to streamline our communication to focus on these primary key metrics. The fundamental question that should be asked is, did the company generate cash or not? We have spent a great deal of time in the past discussing other elements of the portfolio, and we simply don't believe those are as relevant as free cash flow. They have, in fact, distracted somewhat from the core performance metric of free cash flow generated through investments. So at the heart of it, the question is, did we make money to put into new investments? If we did, we win. If we don't, we lose. It's that simple. In Q3, we generated free cash flow of $164,000 in straight royalty and interest income, net of all expenses, including interest and tax. That's a win. We have approximately $7.3 million in cash as of November 15, of which we have allocated $4 million for new investments. We expect to begin deploying capital again in new opportunities prior to the end of the calendar year, and we'll continue to do so at a rate of approximately one new investment a month going forward. To do that, we have three sources of capital that we will use to build our base of new investments. Number one, free cash flow generated from royalties and interest. Number two, cash generated from contract buyouts. And separately, number three, our two new partners that will co-invest in opportunities alongside of us. I'll address the third source first. Subsequent to the end of the third quarter, we entered into two separate joint venture agreements. Each of the two JVs are entitled to co-invest alongside future Grenville investments. The JV capital invested will be incremental to the Grenville investment. These JVs allow us to identify and invest in a broader number of opportunities than we would be able to do so independently. And they enable us to continue to provide investees with investments of sufficient scale to achieve their growth objectives. Based on our experience, the sweet spot for investment is between $1 and $2 million. Investments above or below that level have tended not to perform as well as the opportunities we identify inside that range. Under the two JVs, each of the JVs are entitled to invest 25% each. So for a $1 million royalty investment, Grenville invests $500,000, while each partner invests $250,000 of their own capital. From this basic formula, we also have an ability to adjust each participant's contribution. This provides Grenville with the ability to invest at a relatively constant rate, an ideal condition for generating and maintaining deal flow. You can see the leverage the JVs provide to our portfolio. As part of the JV agreements, Grenville also receives additional upside. Under the four growth JV, Grenville receives a management fee. Excess returns after costs and loan payments will be shared on an 85-15 basis between Four Growth and Grenville, with Four Growth providing 100% of the joint venture's contribution to the transaction. Under the Darwin JV, Grenville has agreed to license our intellectual property and royalty investment strategy, and we will receive 6% of all royalty income generated by Darwin. In effect, Four Growth is a net profits arrangement, while Darwin is a gross revenue calculation. These two agreements are an innovative approach to access new capital to expand our portfolio, supporting the goals of our SME investees for non-dilutive capital to grow their businesses. The second source of new capital for future investments is contract buyouts. As we discussed during our Q2 report, we continue to believe there are a number of contract buyout opportunities that could arise in the next few quarters. That said, there can be no assurances that any contract buyouts will occur for certain. However, based on experience, we believe these contract buyouts could potentially represent up to $9 million in cash to Grenville, which equates to approximately $4 million in free cash flow. With the suspension of the dividend, our free cash flow from portfolio royalties and interest and the proceeds from contract buyouts are now available for reinvestment in new opportunities. Building the business requires that we return to active investment of capital in new transactions. The deal team has completed a very comprehensive review of our deal strategy and is now sourcing deal flow based on an increased focus on technology and industrial technology investments. As a result of this work, deal flow reached an all-time high for Grenville during Q3 as we reviewed 195 potential deals in the period. Our pipeline is strong, and we have identified a number of attractive opportunities, which we believe will lead to new investments prior to the end of the year and into next year. Our focus today is investments in companies with strong fundamentals to achieve their growth objectives, ultimately creating the ability to attract lower-cost capital, leading to the completion of contract buyouts, and identifying new opportunities in the high-growth technology and industrial tech segments where we have delivered our best results. With that, I'll turn it over to Donica to review the financial results.
Thank you, Steve. Royalty payment income was flat at $2 million in Q3 2016 compared to $2.3 million in the same period in 2015. Royalty payment income is the primary driver of revenue, adjusted EBITDA, and free cash flow each month. In Q3, revenue was negative $855,000 compared to $6.6 million in the same period last year. Revenue was impacted by non-cash unrealized losses of $3 million, which consisted of $3.5 million related to an unrealized loss from the change in the fair value of royalty agreements acquired, offset by $545,000 in unrealized foreign exchange gain. The change in revenue was also impacted by the $2.2 million in contract buyouts during Q3 of last year, compared to $99,000 of a realized gain recorded in Q3 2016, which was a result of the Plytech investment finishing 1 year earlier than anticipated. Total operating expenses were $876,000 in Q3 2016 compared to $721,000 for the same period last year. The change is primarily due to a $123,000 increase in professional fees as a result of higher portfolio activity requiring more professional services and the cost of the additional managing director position. We estimate operating expenses, excluding share-based payments, to run between $2.4 and $3 million on an annual basis going forward, or $200,000 or $202,000 to $250,000 on a monthly basis. We recorded adjusted EBITDA of $1.4 million in Q3 2016, compared to $4 million in the same period last year. The change was primarily due to the contract buyouts in 2015 I referenced earlier. Free cash flow was $164,000 in Q3 2016 compared to $2.7 million in the same period last year. The change in free cash flow was primarily due to the contract buyouts in 2015. Free cash flow for 2016 year-to-date period was negative $98,000 compared to $3.6 million in the same period in 2015. The change was due to realized gains of $2.2 million in 2015 for contract buyouts and $1.1 million of short-term timing differences at the end of December 2015 that impacted 2016's free cash flow. As of November 15, 2016, we estimate royalty income and interest for the month of October will be approximately $600,000, which equates to approximately $400,000 in adjusted EBITDA and $100,000 in free cash flow for the month. During Q3 2016, we made aggregate dividend payments of $1.33 million, and prior to suspending the dividend in October, we made a dividend payment of $442,000. Average royalty payment per million invested was $147,000 for the month of September 2016. The rolling 12-month average royalty payment per million invested, including buyouts, was $266,000 for the period ended September 30, 2016. Both of these measures focus on the monthly performance of the portfolio. Looking longer term, our portfolio IRR since inception was 18% for Q3 2016 compared to 21% reported for Q2. In September, there were disappointing developments in some investee companies that adversely impacted their capability to pay a royalty, and accordingly, we have reduced the value of the investment carried in the financial statements. As a result, the value of the portfolio was reduced by $3.5 million, primarily due to these investments. 74% of our investment portfolio has generated returns equal to or in excess of our 25% pricing level as of the end of Q3. We moved $2.2 million into the above target category during Q3, and $1.6 million moved into the below target category. As of September 30th, the portfolio performance consists of 16% bought out, 15% above target, 44% on target, 20% off target, and 5% recorded as a loss. The increase in the loss position is due to the movement of $1.3 million into this category following one of the investments written off. As of September 30, 2016, the loans and royalty agreements acquired since inception were $63.6 million, an increase of $20.6 million at the same point in 2015. Working capital was $11.9 million, and our cash position was $7.8 million. I will now turn it back over to Steve for his closing thoughts.
Thanks, Donica. I want to emphasize our focus at Grenville. This is a cash-on-cash business model. Since our inception, we have generated $63 million. We've invested $63 million. These investments have returned $32 million of cash and generated $8.2 million in free cash flows. The portfolio has delivered an IRR of 18% since inception. We think those are pretty good numbers. The portfolio continues to reliably generate cash, $164,000 in free cash flow during Q3. This, in part, is a result of our ability to manage cash flows, a very important aspect of the business. We've reduced expenses to approximately $200,000 to $250,000 a month on a run rate basis, well below the rate we were operating at in late 2015 and early 2016. Our business model has proven the ability to translate an historical 12.5% cost of capital into investments with a 25% pricing level. This is unique in the royalty industry. Combined, our ability to control costs and invest well above our cost of capital drive returns at Grenville. We have over $7 million of cash on hand, which we expect to start deploying prior to the start of the year. We expect to transact on approximately one deal per month in and around the $1 million level per investment, along with co-investments from our JV partners. And we believe we have access to additional capital for future investments from potential contract buyouts for investees in the portfolio today. We continue to see considerable growth in the medium to long term for our royalty-based financing product as SMEs search for growth capital alternatives to traditional equity or debt. Speaking now to the future, we recognize the market values us at a few million dollars above our cash balance, with essentially zero value attributed to the portfolio, despite regular positive cash flow results. We believe there is a very compelling case for Grenville as a cash flow generating growth company, and management will be working very hard to demonstrate this value in coming quarters. We will do this in cooperation with our JV partners by continuing to deploy capital, manage royalty income streams, and negotiate contract buyouts that allow us to accelerate growth without undue dilution of our investor base. I would like to thank our shareholders for the commitment and patience they've demonstrated as we execute our growth-focused strategy. At this time, we would now like to take your questions. Operator?
Thank you. And as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question over the phone, please press star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. And we'll pause for just a moment to allow people to queue. And our first question this morning comes from Trevor Johnson from National Bank. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Trevor.
You mentioned that you had a really active Q3 in terms of deal flow, 195 deals. I think you said that that's a record amount. Can you just talk about maybe this velocity and the quality that you're seeing and maybe the level of due diligence? And could you see this translate? Obviously, you're guiding to a little bit more, getting back on track with deploying capital. But is this making it easier to kind of navigate and cherry pick the best partners that you're looking at right now?
Sure, happy to comment on that. We went through a major review led by Dr. Terrio, who really refocused our sourcing criteria to look for these more industrial tech type companies with a more a technology focus. In doing that, you're really looking for different deal finders and a different type of company to invest in. That has had two important outcomes. One, we've seen less of what we used to call the steady eddy deals that were, you know, bricks and mortar businesses that were not prone to growth and where there were not many interested co-investors. Those have been really swapped out, if you will, for companies that have a pretty strong growth profile, have an existing investor base, and can attract outside capital, and probably as importantly, have the ability to exit. This makes the deal somewhat more competitive because there will be other sources of capital at the upper end of that spectrum. The second part of the equation here is that when we came through our Q4 investment period last year and we clearly were not performing at our optimum level, we really looked at our process for deciding on deals, is we've taken a good part of 2016 to really work on our methodology. That really completed, I would say, by midsummer, Trevor, and now the goal is to sort of take that revised approach to doing deals and the different deal sourcing criteria to complete and do deals in the future. What we're resisting very strongly here is the urgency or the urge to simply deploy capital because there's an expectation to see it happen in the marketplace. We're being very patient with this. And I have to say, one of the reasons we're able to do that is we generate free cash flow. We really feel as confident as we have been about our ability to fund through internally generated cash, including contract buyouts, the business going forward for a considerable period of time. And that means the investments we make should be the best choices we can make, not necessarily the fastest. So those two elements are generating the pace at which you're seeing capital being deployed today. The current list of deals that are under negotiation and under term sheet, we think is as good as we've seen in the portfolio in some time. But again, we're going to continue to be patient, look at those deals very carefully, and close them once we've completed full due diligence and understand exactly the risks and the rewards of each investment.
With the new methodology, has that elongated the process to kind of go from being introduced to a file to potentially closing? I know, again, you haven't closed anything in the last few quarters, but just on a go-forward basis.
Yeah, I think we're slightly longer. The process that we're now using has a more aggressive triage up front, which means we eliminate more deals more quickly. They're not likely to go into later stage due diligence, so that's part of what happens here. In terms of due diligence going forward, it's not so much that we're adding due diligence steps. We think we had pretty good due diligence steps before, but we have a very much more robust process in terms of how we debate and decide on which deals we do. And that's not so much as a time issue as it is a process issue. We refer here to we call red team process. And the basic idea is that whoever is the deal champion is using the other members of the team as the red team, who basically look for the reasons why not to do the deal. It's the idea that having some internal debate that's set up by the process ends up making better decisions. That doesn't necessarily take time. It deploys the people in a different way. If you were to go back in prior years at Grenville, you would have seen multiple parties doing multiple deals, some of that red team process going on, but not as much as you'd see today. So this is, I would say, more hands on each deal, more intensity on each decision, and that's not so much a time thing as it is an effort metric. So we might see us, just to fill that, you might see a 15 to 30 day extension of time, something like that, but it would not be a material change in our time frame.
Okay. And then just on the cost front, you've got it down to like $200,000 to $250,000 per month. Just do you mind commenting on the sustainability of that maybe as you look into 2017 and get back into deploying the capital? And just curious if there's any incremental expense from bringing on the JVs.
There were some modest costs for obviously papering the deals and so forth, but they are a net benefit to us in terms of cost on the for growth side, and the on the Darwin side, it's a gross revenue deal. It's like another royalty, so it's really neutral on that side. Our ability to operate at lower cost, we think, is one of our strengths. This is a business that does not require a lot of capital. What it requires is a high-quality team to go forward, and we think we've got the team in place that can do that. And, you know, the whole goal here is to make sure that the team is properly incentivized for positive results going forward. If we do that, then we have the ability to operate at a relatively low operating expense level, and we've put all those pieces in place, and I think it's quite sustainable.
Yeah.
A little more color on that. The size of the deal team today is sufficient to operate at the level that handles deals for both our group and the two JVs. We think we've got the right team in place to do that work, and we are, in fact, seeing additional people on the JV side who are participating in the decision-making process. So there's some additional voices being heard at the table now, which I think is going to be a great add over time.
Yeah. And then you got it to or trying to target one new investment per month and kind of in that $1 million range. So just looking at, say, 2017, does that imply like a $12 million total capital deployed, or does that imply 24, or excuse me, is that net or gross of the JV partners, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Would that be 500,000 Grenville per million and one of those a month, or would it be 1 million for the combined?
That's the Grenville share.
Okay.
That's the Grenville share.
Gotcha. And then last one for me, just you know, when we did the last conference call update, I think you had kind of suggested that the fair market value seems to have, the write-down seemed to have calmed, and that obviously wasn't the case this quarter. Just wonder if you could give us an outlook in terms of just what you're seeing from the portfolio from a fair market value standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, Trevor, thanks for the question. I mean, one thing I just wanted to go back to our last call. At the time, there was a couple of investments that were going through a number of initiatives at the time, which kind of gave us a kind of the view that going, you know, that these investments had kind of turned the corner. Unfortunately, during September, these initiatives kind of fell off and they dropped off, and that kind of unfortunately disimproved our financial condition. So we took the position that we kind of taken a written down value on the fair value. So that was just unfortunate timing. They really looked like they were turning a corner at the end of August, but then in September those initiatives failed. Going forward, I mean, we always expect losses in an SEMM portfolio like this. It's very, very hard to always have visibility on that. So, like, the position we've taken is that we will continue to do our fair valuations on a quarterly basis based upon the information that we have at that moment in time. And that's we will continue to do that going forward.
Okay.
If I could add, the reason we're adding language about potential contract buyouts is to give the market some visibility on the fact that the fair value does not account for, you know, the full value of what we see as the opportunity going forward. There is both sides of this equation.
Yes.
We want to make sure that we get both pieces of the story into the public domain so people can kind of make an assessment. Probably the most important message we're presenting here is that two most important messages, positive free cash flow, and we are expressing confidence in our ability to fund our deals without going outside to raise additional outside capital. We think our cash flows are going to be sufficient to be able to let us invest at the pace we've stated for some considerable period of time here.
Okay, thanks for taking my questions, guys.
Thanks, sir.
And again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. And presenters, I'll turn the call back over for any additional closing remarks.
Thank you all for joining us on the call today. Just to conclude remarks, we think the decisions we've made with respect to the suspension of the dividend, the focusing on free cash flow, and building off a solid and stable base of the business are the right ones for the company and for the shareholders. That will continue to be the focus. You'll hear from the management team in coming quarters. We're pretty enthusiastic about our opportunity to build the value of the business and look forward to reporting our year-end results. Thank you so much today for your time.
This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect.